Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, so everything is all right.
Hey there. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Dr. Copper Street Show. Welcome. We are so happy to have you join us. So much is going on. And, you know, we say this every week on our show. We say that no matter what, there's hope. No matter what, you're going to get some hope from listening to this show, and you're going to make sure you end with hope, knowing that there is a better day, and that day is today. Thank you for tuning in to the Dr. Cupertino Show. You know, we have just had such a great time having Colonel Dr. William Harrison on the show. You know, he's a minister. He's a former cop. He's someone that counsels hundreds on a monthly basis. I mean, he's just a neat guy. And I'm happy because he's a man of wisdom. You know, you can have all the money in the world you want. You can drive the best car that you want. I mean, whatever. But if you don't have wisdom, hey, you got a problem. Because there's a holy book that says, above all things, get to an understanding. So, hey, let's kind of get ready to put on a cap of understanding today. And here's some good stuff about our topic. You know, I don't know if it's good, but, you know, a lot of people are saying that there's no reason for them to keep living. They're saying no one cares about them. No matter how much money I make, no matter what university I came from, no matter what family I came from, I'm still not happy. I don't think there's any good going to come to me because I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling it that there's a reason for me to keep walking and talking and just trying to be a great person. So our Colonel Harrison, hey, he's here on the show, and we're going to be dialoguing about this. Colonel, thank you so much for tuning in again. You know what? I don't think this show would be what it is without you. How are you today?
Good morning, Dr. Cupertino, listening audience. I'm fine, and just so honored that you've invited me on the show throughout the course of the year, and hopeful that I've had some information that I've shared and has been insightful to help impact people's lives, the listening audience, in a positive way.
You most certainly have, because people are saying, you know what, I don't want to hear all that talk. I don't want to hear someone else's opinion. I'm just going to do what I want to do. I know I'm going to make it. That's not true. Before anything good happens in a person's life, you've got to listen to something or someone. Then they're able to take action. No one's just going to jump up randomly, you know, mind out of control or whether they think it's in control, and say, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this, I'm going to make great things happen. No, we're going to make great things happening from listening to good counsel. And the spirit, the soul, whatever people want to call that thing on the inside, it knows when it's hearing something that's good for it. But we do want to talk about the topic that we've been talking about for about 6 months now. It has to do with suicide and people thinking that, you know, they're caught up in cold and calculated circumstances that might be beyond their control. And a cycle of hate and self-loathing is not making it any better. Some are saying, you know what? Nothing seems to be working. Nothing seems to be working in my life. So right now we want to offer hope. We want to offer a way out because we can always point to our own lives as an example. So, hey, people, you are needed more than you know. So right now, we're going to help you show up in life and show out. And Colonel, with that being said, I'm going to segue right into our show. Why is it so many people, I'm not talking about old folk, I'm not talking about the elderly, I'm not talking just about seniors, but I'm talking about teenagers, kids as young as 8 years old. Why are some of these people thinking that there's no reason to keep on living? I mean, you know, they're coming out of a nice home. Seemingly, they have good parents. Perhaps they have a decent wife. Who knows? Decent husband. But what is the reason, in your opinion? Being a minister as well as the ex-cop, ex-police officer, 38 years. Why do people feel there's no reason to keep living?
Dr. Cupertino, listening audience, I was thinking as you posed a question to me, And I take it back to the family. I take it back to the family because the family is the grassroots and it's the foundation of which we birth in, we live in, we grow up in, and hopefully eventually we become of age and we leave family and we go out into the outer world. Certain principles have to be instilled, family values have to be instilled at the family level. And then I'm going to move briefly to society. Because if that is still a family level and I'm a foster child, whatever it is, they are still placed in a family environment. So it's incumbent upon the mother and father, whether a single parent, head of household, whether a father and mother are still in the same household, in the same roof or whatever, to instill certain values and principles in their children. And so that we have failed. I say we, society, by and large, has failed because it translates from us not training our kids up in the way they should go to the husband and wife at some point in time growing and getting tired of each other, losing the ability to communicate effectively, and then divorce. So we go from the family, from the child, infancy stage, not being trained properly, to husband and wife are separating, divorcing, and so forth and so on. And we go from there to the child being involved in that chaos. And in between all of that, the child is in school trying to learn something, but the principles that are taught in school have changed because everything is automated where it used to be hands-on. So the child is caught up in a dilemma of electronic-driven society where they are not forced to think on their own. They're not forced to learn on their own, do mathematical equations in their heads, and so forth and so on. So that's what has caused, in my life experience, that's what has caused this despair and this depression that our kids are experiencing because they get bored and they don't have no connection with family, mom and pop separated, divorced, so forth, and then thus the child gets involved in gangs and so forth and go downhill after that. Now, Paul.
My goodness, you can really sum this thing up because I think you're right on it. People are also blaming the mother specifically. Let's kind of take it in that genre, that person. They're saying mommy is not the mommy used to be. They're saying mothering is just out the door. Women are having children just to keep up with some celebrities, they're having children knowing they don't have to really be the parent that they know they should be deep down inside, you know, and an animal knows when he's not doing the right thing. So humans created with the reason, with the ability to reason, do. So you're saying mommies is not really playing the role that they should. And, you know, I feel kind of sad hearing that, but across the nation, you know, there's been all these women's movements, and nothing has changed. Crime is still up. Bad health is still up. Children killing parents is on just off the Richter scale. And I could go on with that, but why do you think people are trying to pin some of these problems that we're having now on mothers, women that, you know, are out there in the workforce, you know, working 25,000 hours a day, you know, coming in tired, they want a little time for themselves, the downtime, they want to, you know, talk on the phone, chat, you know, when they get home from work, and some are not even cooking, you can order everything in. They're ordering meals in. Grocery stores are closing down like crazy here in Los Angeles, in our state, and I believe it's nationwide because people, women specifically, they're not coming home cooking meals, they're not creating atmosphere where you can sit down and enjoy a decent dinner. Why do you think women now is being faced with the blunt of a lot of problems that their children, their youth, their adult kids is thinking about taking their lives, saying life isn't worth anything? Why is that?
Because women, not all, but it appears most, in modern-day society we live in, this contemporary society, have gotten away from who was the foundation of the family. The female is the foundation of the family. The male is the head, but the female is the foundation. She teaches those principles to the child, she nurtures the child, tutors the child, loves the child, gives the child that vital attention and nurturing that it needs at an early age. And if we go back when, and we think years gone by, the women were in the house raising the family, and they were housewives, and they were preparing food, keeping the house clean, taking the child back and forth to school once the child became a child age, and all those kinds of things. And then all of a sudden, this thing came about in society where it appears that some women want to be equal with men. There's equality, and there should be equality with respect to employment and with respect to salaries and with respect to position. But a woman will never be equal to a man because the man from the foundation of the world was made to be the head and the provider, and a woman was to be the caretaker of the family and the children. And she is the glue that holds the family together. If she holds the family together, she's the glue that holds society together. The men were supposed to work and be the provider. And so we got this competitive thing now where they've gotten away from it. It's one thing to pursue a professional career. It's another thing to forsake your child who needs your attention. Daycare should not be raising children. The mother should be raising the child.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Okay, Colonel, let's look at it like this. You have a very high abortion rate in the United States, especially. You have organizations that have pulled up all the stops to get women to discard their fetuses. I guess that's abortion. And going out there in the world and think everything's going to be okay. But, you know, we know eye for eye, tooth for tooth. We know if one takes a life, he's got to pay for that life some way, somehow. They might not see it in the ephemeral. It might not come day after tomorrow, after the act. But it does. When a person takes a life, that's a huge responsibility on that person to pay the price for that. And my dad used to say, all shall pay, none gets away. And I used to laugh at him. But you see that if the abortion rates are high, child debts are high, pedophiles walk amongst us on a every day, every hour, every minute basis. It doesn't appear that there's much value put on the family, and without children, there's not really a family. Two people can say I'm married, but a family means that there's another party there, a child. And somebody better write that down. Without a child involved, you have no family. And, of course, the Supreme Being instituted family many, 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 many generations, many centuries ago. But when we see the trend toward no family, zero family couples, that's not a good sign. That's the sign that a problem has already occurred in the mind of that person, and they're just carrying it out in the natural by either abusing children, killing children, their children, aborting them, saying the fetus isn't that, all manner of nonsense to make sure that whatever they're doing to create them or help create or bring them into being, hey, don't look at me. Do you think that has anything to do with the trend toward it used to be, I will see you, but I don't want to hear from you. Now they didn't want to see him. Is something wrong with that? Let's hear your thoughts on that, Colonel Harrison.
Yes, Doc, we have lost the value of family, and with respect to abortion, we've lost the value of human life, because if one doesn't want a child, then why position themselves to possibly conceive a child? The child is innocent. And so why be promiscuous and conceive a child and then want to abort it at some point in time during the pregnancy? Something is wrong with that kind of thinking. So we have people being callous, people not thinking right, If you want to be single, be single. If you want children, it's better if a child comes up in a family environment with mom and dad. If they're not married, the common law, there's mom and dad. If they're married, there's mom and dad. Because the child, as it grows, can draw on both parents. But I never, without regard to my religious belief, I never believe in aborting the child. If I'm man enough to do something and create something, and as a result a child comes forth, then I'm going to be man enough to take care of my responsibility and obligation to provide sustenance and food and clothing and shelter and so forth for my child. So we got it twisted. And only I should, and a mother should be concerned about their child, their offspring, and should love that child as they love themselves. I don't need no other man taking care of my child, and most women, I believe, feel the same way. They don't want no other woman taking care of their child. We got to get the principles right again. Now, morally, we've become sidetracked with all the foolishness that's going on around us, and a lot of it is just common sense. You don't need a PhD, a theology degree, or any sort, a Jewish doctorate degree, just common sense. And we can turn this thing around, but we got to be careful because the ship is now in stormy waters, and if we're not careful, the ship will take on more water. And I'll pause, Doug.
Yeah, you know what? I was just thinking the same thoughts that you have reiterated here. But now here's another sad story, part of a commentary that people have not looked at. Let's say a person, female, gets pregnant. You know, let's this old crazy mess talk about, men being able to carry a uterus and so on. I am so sick of hearing those kind of things. But now let's just bring this thing home. Let's say a woman gets pregnant. She's too poor to have an abortion. She's in a rural area. She can't get out of it. Maybe her state shuns and looks at that, in a bad light, and she has to sit there 9 months knowing she doesn't want that child. She hates being pregnant. She hates the man that impregnated her. She hates the fact that, oh, me too, I got caught. Someone that sits for 9 months with those thoughts all of a sudden gives birth. What do you think happens to a child that in utero, that senses that it's not wanted, senses that it's not going to be cared about or cared for, senses that, it just should die it can't. What do you think will happen to a child that is violently born into this world with a person of that vernacular carrying it? Wouldn't you say that that child is going to be a problem? They're going to go through life looking for love in all the wrong places. They're going to do anything to be loved, whether it's even killing them. Of course, knowing that once you kill someone, you're not going to get love from them, but that's how warped our society is. What is your thoughts on women doing that? I've been raped. So now, I'm sitting here pregnant, I'm broke, busted, and disgusted. I'm sitting here and I'm pregnant. Man done ran off, done went away. But here I am with my stomach fat, something's moving in me. I hate it already. What do you think psychologically and emotionally that is going to happen with a child being born into a circumstance like that?
Given their circumstances and situations and conditions that happen like that, rape victims and failed relationships and so forth, especially in case of a rape victim, putting on my former law enforcement hat for a moment, the mother is devastated, she's traumatized and emotionally distraught, all of that, yes, and rightfully so, and takes sometimes years to heal, but once the child is conceived, the child is a part of that mother, whether it was consensual sex or whether it was forced sex. The child is a part of the mother, and you can't separate that. And notwithstanding the fool who may have impregnated her or forced himself upon her, raped her, whatever that might be, that's one thing. Authorities can deal with that, and if not, there's a higher power that would deal with that if the person is not eventually arrested that they violate or rape or kidnap and abuse a woman. But the child is connected to the mother. The child is in the mother womb. The child comes from the mother. It has to be. The mother should have some kind of attachment for the child and love for the child. Forget about the resentment for the violator. Forget about the resentment toward the ex-boyfriend or the ex-husband. Forget about that. The child is the mother. And bring forth that child and love that child, nurture that child, and bring that child up in the admonition of the way the child will become a responsible moral adult. Don't abandon the child because you said it, Doc. They're going to go out there and they're going to get involved in gangs and other things and drugs and liquor and looking for love in all the wrong places. It's her child, whether it comes forth voluntarily or whether it comes forth involuntarily. It's her child, and she should love her child.
She sure should. And see, this is what some of the courts and judges of the land is actually stating. You have these children that grow up, they start killing, they start performing acts of mayhem. We're going to come and arrest you. We're going to come and get you. We're going to come and take you to jail. We're just not going to look at this child laying over there in the corner with a bloody knife. We're going to look into you guys. What have you guys did? How did you raise this child? What happened? In fact, some cases they're saying that if your child commits murder, you're the real murderer. We're going to give you the same judgment. If you Google that, it's really true. So some scientists and other individuals that study the human side, they're saying, no, you're not going to get away with this. Either your son going through the land, he didn't kill 60 people, and here he is now, gruesome face, facing a lot of problems. No, how they're looking back into the family, and this is why, you know, you have children that have committed, our juveniles, children too, you know, that have committed crimes. These are teenagers, people that have stomped over into gangs, gang activity. They're asking about his early upbringing. The judge wants to know what kind of home was he raised in. They look at that to try to apply the laws of leniency in some of the sentencing that are going on. And I'm not just saying this is just in America, but, you know, all over. So there's some leaning toward the fact that whatever this boy or girl does or has done in the way of criminal acts, somehow this psych knows that the family, mom, dad, is somewhat responsible. Now you can argue that. You can argue that. Even the Holy Scripture says, in essence, like father, like son, like mother, like a daughter, like mother. It says that somewhere, of course, you know, I will have this scripture ready next week, but right now, that's the deal. That's the cut. They're saying that if you got these people roaming around and they're doing all they can to perform acts of mischief, you ain't going to sit up there either and be innocent. You're going to bear some of the brunt. Now, you've written a book, and we did say last week we were going to cover some aspects of that. Does your book speak to children, youth, and gang members, people living off the fringe? Does it say anything about individuals that are up even walking right now as we speak saying, I don't want to live? No one really cares about me. Now, no one really should go around saying, oh, yeah, I hate you, you know what, I don't want you, this and that. But there's an innate feeling when a person is not wanted that also attaches to them as a spirit. And they commit acts of mayhem because I'm mad, I'm going to kill. I'm upset, I'm going to slap somebody. I didn't sleep well last night, I'm going to go and slap someone. Does your book allude to that? Anything that has to do with the family in the book?
Yes, Doctor, the title of the book is The Answer to Civil Unrest in the Land, The Answer to Civil Unrest in the Land. And so the book was really written as a revelation, as a result of a revelation, to try to bring society together, because the opposite of peace is chaos. The opposite of chaos is peace, so that we wouldn't destroy each other as a people and as a society. And it talks about the causation of civil disobedience and what caused it. And it takes us all the way back to the Indian civil rights leader, Mahatma Gandhi, come forward to Dr. Martin Luther King, and the principles that are involved in that, and how eventually the Civil Rights Act of 1964 came forth. But within that element of the civil disorder, the ingredient that brought people back together, law enforcement and citizens or in society, in certain communities that brought them back together, was the fact that they were communicating with each other, they were showing compassion toward each other, and eventually they were able to come together and come up with some principles and some goals and some objectives that they were able to work together in harmony, the police and the community and police, and also the children, because the children, some of the juveniles were caught up in crime and committing some of the civil disobedient acts. So there are values in the book that addresses certain principles as it pertains to our youth and our juveniles, that keep them from getting caught up in civil disobedience.
Yeah, you know, that makes sense. And law enforcement, you know, I know you're a seasoned veteran ex-cop, and you can attest to what I'm getting ready to say. Law enforcement is going around now, I think it's either like Alabama, Arkansas, but they're under fire because this week they said there's so much killing and crime going on in their state that they say Satan, you know, Satan the devil, you know, the evil one, is at the root of it. And uproar occurred all across America. It really was about 50-50. Some were saying, yeah, that's right, that's true. Others were saying that there's no business talking about Satan when they're wearing a gun on their side. Take care of the problem. And it was more Satanists that got on those people. They wanted them fired. They wanted them suspended without pay. But they're holding their guns. They said the reason for an upsurge in crime, I'm not sure if they just meant the killings, you know, in their state, city and state, was just America. But they pinned the tail on the donkey, the Satan. And people hated that. Some, I think the ACLU got involved and saying that they should not be trying to tell people that Satan is the cause, they can't do their job. And I mean, it is horrible now. So much so that I said, I'm going to send a letter of support for them. But why do you think those cops said that because so much violence going on, there must be a demon god behind it? Why do you think they went that route? You're an ex-cop. Why do you think they did that?
After 38 years in law enforcement, Doc and listening audience, we have to separate the principles of immoral conduct versus moral conduct. And basically what I'm saying is that when people commit crime, whoever it may be, an individual commit crime, they usually do it because they have an opportunity to do it or they plan to do it. I don't think it has anything specifically to do with any Satanism. I think it's an improper or wrongful decision that a person make, or they might be prone to be a career felon because of whatever happened to them, and they got sentenced and so forth, so they come out, can't get a job, they're stigmatized and so forth. But ordinarily, a criminal act is a violation of the law, and usually I found in my experience that people commit crimes. Number one, a thief commits a crime when he has an opportunity. A person that hurt another, a murderer another, usually have some type of planned motive, or it's an accidental, a negligent homicide or something of that sort. So it has to do with conduct, and more so than it has to do with any satanic spirit, because it's driven by emotions and not so much driven by what one's belief might be. And I'll pause there.
Cut off right here. I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to have to cut us off. Colonel Harrison? Thank you. Colonel Harrison, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you so much on the show. We have 22 seconds. I'm going to decide on those that say Satan is on the run in America. I'm going supernatural on this. Thank you so much, Colonel Harrison. We enjoy you every week. Tune in next week. We're going to give you now the reasons why you might feel no one cares about you. God bless you. Yeah, I just said that. See you next week on the Dr. Cappuccino Show.